Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 56, Prayer That Brings Results, Part 1. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on January 6th, 2018.
John 16, verse 20. We're going to start there this morning. And these are not my words, or these are not words of just somebody in the Bible. These are the words of Jesus. He said, I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. Excuse me. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly be turned to wonderful joy. Now, he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them, you know, that he's going to go away. And they're not getting it. They're not understanding it. They're not comprehending it. They're like, how can this be? Jesus, you're so wonderful. You're at the peak of your ministry and all of those kind of things, and this is not going to happen. In fact, some of them rebuked him. Verse 21 says, it will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. Now, most of you men can't relate to that, but some of you ladies can. So, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one will rob you of that joy. So, just for a second, let's just take a little diversion from prayer and just think about this. This is about joy. This is about something that the world doesn't have and can't give. Everybody's out seeking happiness and seeking a thrill and seeking to feel good and all of those kind of things. But only Jesus can bring you joy. Only Jesus, the Father, through Jesus, can bring you joy. So if you want something that lasts beyond the thrill of the moment, if you get a hold of Jesus and have his life manifesting in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says. So this is about joy. And there's a connection between joy and your prayer and your prayer life. And so that's why we're talking about prayer this month, because we hope that it inspires you to come up another level, to come up, you know, no matter how good you are at communicating with God and having relationship with him, it can always get better. Amen. Because we live in a corrupted world where things kind of crowd that out and cloud it over, and, you know, kind of, the Bible says we see through, like seeing through a glass darkly, like a dirty window, kind of. We're not seeing the full picture. But we want the picture to get clearer. And we do that by building a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, whom he sent to live inside of us. So verse 23 says, at that time, everybody say at that time. At that time. What time is that? Well, after he's gone, right? Because this is what he's predicting. At that time, he says, you won't need to ask me for anything. Isn't that amazing? Because evidently his disciples have been asking him for things. He's the rabbi. He's the one we're following. He's the leader. So they were asking him. It's a natural thing. You ask questions. You get answers. You have needs. You ask for help. And you get help. Jesus was there for them 24/7, pretty much. They did life together. They were his disciples. That's what discipling is about. In coming months, we'll be talking to you more about discipleship and discipling, because Jesus said, go make disciples, didn't he? Yes. He didn't say, go make converts. He said, go make disciples. So that's what we should be about, doing what he said. But that's another subject. So getting back on this, he said, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? And we're going to talk about his name a bit, because his name, you know, in Jesus' name isn't just the ending for a prayer. In Jesus' name has some force, some impact, some power, which we'll see in a story in a minute. He said, because you use my name. You haven't done this before. So before, they were just asking Jesus. They need an answer, they ask Jesus. They need something, they ask Jesus. They need help, they ask Jesus. He said, before you haven't done this, ask using my name and you will receive. You see how positive that is? It isn't like, just give it a try. Maybe it'll work for you. Hope it works for you. I'm taking off. Sayonara. We'll see you around. God bless you. Have a good trip. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says maybe. Sometimes he says wait. All of that stuff that people say, religious things. He said, ask using my name and you will receive. Ask using my name and you will receive. Ask using my name and you will receive. He isn't putting ifs in there. He isn't putting maybes in there. He isn't putting some kind of complicated process in there. He just says, ask and you will receive. In that day, if you do it this way, if you ask it by name, you will receive. And what's the last part of it? And you will have abundant joy. Did you know that God wants you to have joy? Through praying and talking to him, communicating with him, he wants you to have abundant joy because the answers are coming. The joy is connected to ask and you will receive. Some translations, I think, say that your joy will be full, so that you will be full of joy, that you will be filled with joy, so you have abundant joy. So that's why we want to talk this morning about prayer that gets results. Now, I don't propose that this message is the end of the whole subject. Maybe we just get started in it, and as you get into the Word of God, he will show you many more things than the things that I'm sharing with you today. But to illustrate this, I want to go to Acts chapter 3. So we're going to take a walk in the book here this morning. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It's a very familiar story, a very powerful and positive story of some communication that went on between people and between people and God. Peter heals a crippled beggar. Verse 1. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Imagine that. They were going to prayer. They'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had gone to heaven. And they were still going to Jewish prayer meetings in the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Who does that? And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver and gold for you." I guess he wasn't carrying his bag that day. "But I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, he stood on his feet, and he began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. And all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar that they'd seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. So, what an amazing story. You say, well, he just spoke to that man. It wasn't exactly prayer, right? It's true. He didn't really ask God for anything. But he did something that we read about just in that verse in John 16. In John 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "At that time, you won't need to ask for anything." So you notice that he didn't beg God to heal this lame beggar. He didn't ask him for anything, right? He said, in that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your requests because you use my name. So Peter just stepped into something, maybe sort of what some people would say accidentally. I mean, if there are any accidents in God, maybe this was accidentally. Maybe this was by chance. He just stepped into something he had never done before. He just used the name and didn't ask anything. He didn't even ask the Father in the name. He just used the name. And when he used the name, something happened to that crippled man, because when he grabbed him by his right hand, evidently the power of God hit that guy. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. And it was the greatest miracle of the day, because everybody that came to that temple service knew that man. They had walked past him dozens of times. Maybe, you know, one of the thoughts I had is that maybe Jesus even walked past this guy before. Because Jesus did the same things his disciples did. He went to the temple. He went to prayer. He did the prayer meetings. He was a Jewish man. He fulfilled all of the customs and the festivals and all the things that Jewish people did. He did those same things. He went there, and he must have seen that guy, because everybody recognized him. And now Peter comes to him, and he said, no silver and gold today, but don't be disappointed. And I think it's interesting they got him to look at them. I mean, he already looked at them and asked for money. I guess maybe he was looking to the next guy, because he didn't think this one was going to be fruitful. But when he looked intently at him, Peter said, silver and gold I don't have today, but what I do have, I'll give you in the name of Jesus. That had to be the best day of this guy's life. Praise the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 12. Peter begins to explain this as he's preaching in the temple, because this gives him an opportunity. And for those of you who love to go out and minister to people, look at the opportunities that can come from one miracle from God. He had everybody's attention. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why are you staring at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. So the first thing he did was he gave credit to Jesus. He recognized immediately, you know, this is not me. This is not us. This is nothing in us. This is him. It's by the power of that name of Jesus. This same Jesus, he said, whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him, you rejected this holy righteous one, instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. So what is he doing? In essence, he's giving them the short version of what we call the gospel, right? The gospel meaning the good news for people. You rejected him, you sinned, you killed him, your sins killed him, but God had a plan. And he's raised from the dead. And we're witnesses of that. Now look at verse 16. This is what I want to get to, connecting this with John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your eyes. Okay, so here's the connection. If you just use the name because it's a name, and you just use in Jesus' name to end a prayer, it might just be words. But when you connect that name with faith, faith in the God who sent Jesus, who loved the world and sent his only son, so that whoever would believe in him should be baptized and come into everlasting life. If you believe, if you have faith in that God and in that name, then mighty things happen in your life. Amen. And your joy can be full. You can walk and leap and praise God with the best of them. So to connect that with what we were speaking about just in the introduction, Jesus said, at that time you won't have to ask me anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly. He will grant your requests because you use my name. When you connect that name with faith in Jesus and faith in the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have a joy-producing winner. Because he said, you haven't done this before, ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. That day, Peter found out what Jesus said is really true. He said, I'm going away, but don't worry, you'll have joy. What a happy day. What an amazing day. Got to preach to those people, and I think thousands were saved as a result of that. I think this Bible says something like 5,000 came into the kingdom after that one miracle. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? So, what should we do about that? How should we apply that to our lives? Well, we should expect the same. Amen? We should get that revelation in our heart. I know sometimes, you know, you have to process this in your head to get it down to your heart, and reading these stories, the Holy Spirit takes the seed of the Word, and he makes something happen on the inside of you, so it doesn't become just a story. It doesn't become just some kind of a myth, you know, that people used to believe, you know, back in the old days or something, you know. It's not just a Sunday school story anymore. It's a story that brings faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God, and we make that connection by getting a revelation of that in our heart. If it's not a revelation in our heart, it won't work for us. If you don't get a revelation of the praise that Enoch was talking about, it won't work for you. But when you begin to process the Word that supports what he said, you begin to enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. You begin to enter his courts with praise. You begin to be thankful to him, and you bless his name, and something happens. Something dynamic happens, even if Pro Presenter crashes in the middle of your worship song. You don't have to stop, because you're still there, right? Pro Presenter may be down, but you're there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's take a look in the Word. I want to talk to you about prayer that brings results. You say, well, we've already been in the Word. Okay, do you want to stop now? Oh, okay. All right, so we have a couple of points I want to make about prayer that brings results. Because I think you're probably like me. I want my prayer to bring results, right? I mean, I don't want to just be kind of marking time or spinning wheels or just being religious. You know, I've had it with being religious. I mean, I was part of the first part of my life just being religious. But then I met Jesus, and things changed. And things are still changing, because things can always get better with Jesus. They can only get better with Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through him, and he's the only way. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So be in expectation. It's getting better. This is a good year. This is not a bad year. This is a great year. It's a great year to be alive. Even if it started out a little bumpy for you, just say, hey, better things are ahead. It's got to get better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Happy New Year, everybody. So prayer brings results. So first and foremost, you need to determine to pray in line with God's word. When you're making communication with God, you should learn from the word how to make communication with him. I mean, because there's a lot of religious ideas on how to pray. If you don't believe me, just get on the internet. Maybe don't get on the internet. Just get in the word. Just stay with the word.
Hallelujah.
But if you don't learn how to pray, if you don't learn how to pray from the Word of God and pray in line with the Word of God, then some of your expectations of what will happen as a result of your prayer will not be met. Those expectations will not be met because you'll just be hoping that things happen because you're going through the actions, you're doing the things. You know, in America and much of the Western church, what we do is we try to look to see what's being successful for somebody else, and then we try to copy their success somehow. So we go to their conference and we go to their, you know, whatever, their prayer conference, if it's about prayer, and we learn all of their ways they do this, and then we try to copy their methods. But when we come home, somehow those methods don't work for us like it worked for them. You know what the problem is? The problem is maybe it worked for them well, and maybe it's a good principle, but it worked for them because they had the principle in their heart. And you're just copying methods. So we can't get anywhere just by copying methods. I mean, you can pray just exactly what Paul prayed and what Jesus prayed and what Peter prayed and what the people in the Old Testament prayed and not get the same results. I mean, you can say those words. But if you don't have the spirit of what's behind those words and what's going on in those lives, you're not going to have the same kind of results that they have. But if you get the principle in your heart and you stay in line with the Word of God, you can't go wrong. Then it doesn't matter what Uncle Joe says or that church you used to go says or whatever they believe or don't believe. That doesn't affect you because you're praying in line with the Word of God. Stick with the Word of God. Be a stickler for the Word of God. Amen. When somebody's preaching to you and ministering to you, look to the Word to find out, is it so? Is it true? Is it real? Amen. Because there's a lot of things out there. I mean, I realize Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis, they can speak to you a lot more than I can because you can watch them every day on television. You can watch them on the internet and you can pull up all their YouTube videos and other people, Charles Stanley and whoever. Amen. Dr. Summerall, anybody, you can pull up all of those things. They can teach you and minister to you every day, night and day, 24/7, 365, and I talk to you once a week. So when you're listening to those men of God, those women of God that you're watching, that you're listening to, that are pouring into you, so to speak, check it out with the Word of God.
Amen.
Make sure it lines up with the Word, because sometimes, you know, you can get an old message. I know I've preached some old messages that I probably wouldn't preach again. And maybe you're looking at one of those and he's already gone on to something else because he got greater revelation of the Word or something. So check it out with the Word. Stay with the Word. Amen? That's the first thing. That's the first rule in prayer. Stay with the Word.
Amen.
If it's beyond the Word, you're probably out there somewhere. Or, you know, God could be showing you something, but get back to the Word. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. So first and foremost, determine that. So the second, the first, that's kind of the overriding rule. So the first point I want to make today about prayer that gets results is pray in Jesus' name. We just talked about that a little bit. We introduced that a little bit from John 16, verse 23. And that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is a different version. This is New King James Version. He will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So what does it mean? It means that if you're asking in Jesus' name, he has authorized it. Now, if you think about your checking account, for example, whoever on your checking account are authorized as signers, they can draw money out of your account, right? So if you're married and you have a joint account, husband and wife can sign the check and the money should be released. Now, I know in our day, sometimes they don't even check who signs, you know, whatever. You know, it's like crazy. And then you go on the internet and you just put your little number in there and you're all those little things that you have to do to transfer some funds to the seller, it takes away some of that. But you're the authority, and the authority signature for your little card when you do that usually is the little three numbers on the back, right? You don't have the three numbers on the back, you have trouble making the transaction in most cases, not all, but most cases. So somebody can steal your number But if they don't have the code on the back, they can't make the transaction. So what that means is that they don't have authorization to use the card. But you have the three numbers, so you're the authority. You're the name. That's the name. Those three numbers are the name by which you can be saved. The three numbers are the numbers by which you get your request granted. I want that stuff. Three numbers, please. I'm oversimplifying, but you get the picture. So the point of this is that when you use the name of Jesus, it's not the ending of the prayer, it's the authorization that counts. You can end the prayer however you want to end it. But if it's not under the authority of Jesus' name, it's not happening. Amen? You're just talking. But if it is under the authority of Jesus' name, you've made a transaction. It goes ka-ching in heaven, and the answer is sent faster than Amazon can get it to you. Jesus can send the answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God he doesn't have to. So I shouldn't even go there.
Hallelujah.
It's authorized. And then notice, just from this scripture, he says whatever you ask. Now that's pretty crazy. Enoch kind of brought up that issue. He's given us a lot of leeway there. Whatever you ask. I mean, think about that. Do you really think he meant that? Jesus, did you really mean? Now Siri's talking to me. It says up here on my screen, did you really mean? And then it says, which one? Dana Evans, Lane Andrews, Lana Farling, or Anna Santos? None of them's. Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
How did I do that? I didn't even touch this thing. Siri just came on and interrupted my message. Lord Jesus, I take authority over you, Siri. In Jesus' name, you stop.
Hallelujah.
All right. So where was I? Whatever you ask. Whatever you ask. Okay, so note that that's in that scripture that we read from John chapter 16, but that isn't the only scripture that comes in. Jesus spoke that in John 16, but look what he says in Mark 11:24. He says, therefore, and he had been talking about prayer and having faith in God in Mark 11. He says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, everybody say whatever things. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So Jesus taught this principle more than once in more than one way in more than one setting. And he said whatever. And I don't know what the definition for you of whatever is, but whatever covers a lot of stuff in life. It could be spiritual things. It could be material things. It could be things concerning your physical being, your health, concerning your family, concerning relationships. That could be whatever. Amen? So whatever covers, I guess, practically everything, right? He maybe could have said everything you ask. He didn't. He said whatever you ask, you will receive. That your joy may be full. And in Mark 11, he said, whatever things you ask when you pray. And then he puts a caveat. Yeah, we could call it that. In there, he says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. That you will receive them and you will have them. So here's a key to this bringing results for you. Always shape your desires around the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, I think Enoch kind of touched on that when he was saying, you know, you should look to see what God is saying in your heart before you pray these kind of things. Because then when you know that it's him, you don't have to wonder and you don't have to think, well, maybe I'm outside of God's will in this and I shouldn't be asking for this. Amen? So if you use that rule and you're communicating with God out of your relationship with God, you're going to get results from this. If you're just, you know, throwing things on the wall and hoping something sticks, I hope this works for me this time, then you've got some issues, you've got some problems, because it's not going to work for you like you're hoping it works for you. Or maybe even believing that it's working for you. But be mature enough to process these things through your relationship with God. And then they can work for you in a powerful way, and your joy will be full, because you'll be seeing prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer answered in a positive and powerful way, because God is for you. He's not against you. And the Bible says all of his promises are yes and amen to those who believe. And it says that he wants to grant to you the desires of your heart. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So if you use that as your guideline for prayer, you're going to have success after success after success after success after success. And people are going to say, why do all the good things always happen to you and they never work for me? And you can, it's the open door for you to minister into their lives, to speak into their lives and say, here's how. This is why this works for me. I'm not special. Well, I am special.
Amen.
I am special, but so are you. Jesus loves you. And he cares about you. And if you'll learn these principles and put them to work, you can have a different kind of life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, I mean, everything that we do out of our prayer life ought to be producing fruit for other people, right? To pick. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about me getting my new car or my new thing or my whatever or my new printer because our printer just broke or, you know, whatever. It's just, it's about how can I bear fruit that remains. Because that's what God has called us to do as disciples. He wants us to be disciples and to bring fruit that remains. That means other people can pick the fruit and come to him and come to know him through our example, through our lifestyle, through our encouragement, through teaching and ministry that we're able to bring to them, and all of those things. So always shape your desires around God's word and always ask in line with God's word. So if you have a question about, I wonder if this is God's will, I wonder if God would want this for me, just check with the Word. See what His Word has to say about it. I mean, it's as simple as that. Don't be lazy. Don't just throw something out there and hope it works. And when it doesn't work, come complain to the pastor. You know, you said if I used his name, I'd get it. And I didn't get it. So now I want you to help. Go in the Word, you lazy thing. Get in there. Get in a word for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
And then if you get stuck, if you get stuck in a word, I come and help you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Am I doing okay, Pastor Karen? Okay. I haven't said any bad words yet, right?
Praise the Lord.
Okay. All right. So now let's focus on one other aspect of that. It says, whatever things, in the New King James, it says, whatever things you desire. So things can be a lot of things, right? Whatever things you desire. But the point of that is not, you know, the broadness of that statement. The point of that is that God is specific about things. So if you don't know what you want and you go to God and ask for something in general, how does he know what to send you? I want a dog. What kind of dog? A big dog, a little dog? A yipey dog or a gentle dog? A guard dog, a junkyard guard dog? What kind of dog do you want? Because God may send you a dog. It may appear on your doorstep. It may not be the dog you really desired. It might be the dog that eats your cat.
Not really.
But God answered your prayer. He sent the dog. Amen. So whatever things you desire, specific things. And if you use some of those, I mean, some of it makes, some of it's logic, some of it's faith, but at least use some logic in what you do and figure out, I don't need to confuse God. I know you can't confuse God. He's not confusable. But don't expect him to read your mind when he said you should come and ask. Amen? Maybe it's more for you than it is for God, because if you don't know specifically what you want, how in the world should he answer a prayer like that in the first place? Amen? If you don't know what that looks like, and you're just hoping that something good happens, you better figure out what good should look like, amen, so that you can release faith for that good to be operating in your life. I'm just talking, trying to be practical here about prayer that gets results, because I've seen a lot of Christians that have prayed a lot of prayers, and then they're disappointed, they're disillusioned, they get mad at the church, they get mad at the pastor, they get mad at the guy on TV, and because they're not seeing this happen, that happen, you know, he said I should bring my tithe and the windows of heaven, I'd have so much money I wouldn't know what to do with, and it's not happened to me. He said I should give an offering, and you know, blessing was going to come, and it didn't come to me. It went to Mary instead. Siri, stop it. It says, hey, I said you should give an offering. Thomas, how is this happening to me? How am I actuating this with the tone of my voice? I didn't know I could do that.
Speak to it in
Jesus'
name.
In Jesus' name, stop. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, things, specific things. According to Jesus, you can be filled with joy in this way. See, a lot of Christians think that a lot of Christians and a lot of unbelievers besides think that being a Christian is pretty dull, dead, and boring. But the reality is that God wants you to be filled with joy so that when you walk into the Myers store and that person greets you, they fall over flat because there's somebody that walked into Myers that had joy.
Amen.
And when the clerk that just got cussed out by somebody sees you coming, she doesn't duck under the counter because you look like you've been baptized in pickle juice and ate rusty nails for breakfast, but she actually is wanting to help you because something is coming off of you that doesn't come off of most people that come through the line. Jesus wants your joy to be full. Ask using my name and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. There's an example of that in the Bible in Acts chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. But it was when Philip went and preached Christ to them in Samaria. It says, the multitudes, with one accord, heeded things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Why? Because when Philip prayed for people or laid hands on people or said whatever he said and did whatever he did, miracles, signs, and wonders happen. So when you're in the middle of that checkout line and everybody's going out and they're calling for all of the medics because people are passing out and you walk through the line, it's a time to preach and say it's about Jesus. He's blessing these people. Don't worry, they'll get up again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so point number one was pray in Jesus' name. Point number two for the message today, prayer that brings results, is believe you receive when you pray. Believe that you receive when you pray. Not someday, but when you pray, believe that you receive. Okay, so what's this based on? What Jesus taught his disciples in Mark 11. In Mark 11, verse 22, he said, have faith in God. So that's kind of the underlying premise. Or have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. In verse 23, he says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, I just read that where the commas are. But let's change where the commas are, because in the Hebrew and in the Greek, there's no commas, right? Okay, so verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe, comma, that you receive them, comma, and you will have them. When you pray, believe. See, it makes a difference. Because it makes a difference when you're going to believe that. When are you going to believe that you receive it? Are you going to believe it after you get it? That's what most people do. They wait till they get it and they say, I believe. It happened. See? It happened. A couple years ago, when Cheryl was in the hospital to get her surgery for the brain tumor, the young doctor that was going to operate on her came into the prep room and greeted her. And the first thing she said to him is, Doctor, I've been praying for you. And he said, thank you very much. He looked like a teenager, you know, actually. He probably was older than that, but he looked really young. But she was praying for him, and she was believing for a result. Now, they told her family some things about what her condition would be like when she came out of that surgery that were not so nice. They didn't tell her, but he told them what they should expect. But in spite of that, after she came out of recovery, none of those things he predicted happened. Amen. Maybe she'll tell you that story sometime. But you have to have some expectation when you pray. And you have to believe that when you pray, you receive. Not someday. Because the answer is sent when you pray, not when you get it. The answer was transpired. If you want to check that out just sometime on your own time, go to Daniel chapter, I think it's chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10, it talks about Daniel and him praying. And I think maybe he was even fasting at that time. He was fasting and praying. And there was a delay in his answer. And God explained the delay by saying that the answer had been transmitted. The angel said the answer was transmitted the day that you prayed. And then he had some opposition, and it didn't get here until today. Here I am to deliver the message, essentially. So even when there's delays, you have to believe that you received when you prayed, not someday. Don't put it off. Amen? It's a key to getting results in prayer when you pray. Notice that in this scripture, in verse 24, it says, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Notice it doesn't say, believe you shall receive them. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, believe you shall receive them. It says, believe that you receive them. That's present tense. Believe that you receive them now. You could put now in there in parentheses. And you shall have them. Okay? The shall have them is can be afterward. I mean, obviously it would be at least 1 second after you prayed. But it could be 1 minute, could be 1 hour, could be 1 day. Remember when Jesus sent the 10 lepers to the priest, they got healed on the way. So he released the healing immediately, right? And the 10 lepers went. But they didn't actually receive it until they started going. So it required some faith on their parts, because that priest that they were going to was the guy who told them, You got leprosy. You got to be outside the community. You can't be around people anymore. He basically gave them their death sentence. And now they had to go back to him, and they had to do it before they actually received their healing. They had to start. And on the way, they discovered, wow, look at this. Look what happened. And one of them came back to thank Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's not just a story in the Bible, it's an illustration of how this works. So in the Amplified Classic Bible, it says, for this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe In parentheses, it says, trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe. So that means believe now. Trust and be confident now that it is granted to you and you will get it. It's a key. It's a principle. But you have to get that principle in your heart, because your head's going to say, that's nonsense. How can I believe something when I can't see it? Well, do you believe there's oxygen in the air? You're breathing it, right? Can you see the oxygen? You believe in a lot of things you cannot see. You go to work on Monday, and you expect to get your paycheck on Friday. Have you seen the paycheck? Have you seen the checking ledger for the company? Do you know that they even have any money in the bank to pay you? But you believe it, because you work like a dog for 7 days. And you hope that on Friday you're going to get a paycheck based on the work that you're already doing, because you're believing the employer, who is a man, who is a person. He could lie. He could skip town. He could close the company before Friday. And you might not get your paycheck, but you believe him and you work like you're going to get it. Amen? So this works the same way. Believe that you receive it when you pray, and then you shall get it. You shall have it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Jesus said it. Well, not me. I'm just trying to help explain it in a way that's maybe overdone, overcooked. Praise the Lord. But God is immediately working on your behalf. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, without faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders received a good report. So all the people that have gone before us that were people of faith, they had to use their faith to receive from God. Believing is releasing your faith. In the context of praying, believing is releasing your faith to God that he's sending the answer now. So, and Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him even. So when we're not acting and walking in faith, we're not even pleasing God. But if we want to please God, we have to live this way. We have to live in expectation, believing that we receive when we pray, because Jesus said it. It's part of our faith walk in God. For we walk by faith and not by sight. It was on the screen just a little bit ago. So God's working immediately on your behalf. And after praying, keep believing and thanking him that you already have the answer. Remind God of his covenant with you, his promises to you, the things that he's spoken into your heart. Remind him. Instead of praying again, remind him. Just remind him of the things he promised you. What are you doing? You're reinforcing the faith that's in your heart when you're thanking God that you already have the answer. Thank you, Jesus. I'm already healed. And somebody said, you don't look healed, but I am. Because I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. This is not mind over matter. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, Jesus took my sicknesses, carried my infirmities, bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases. So why should I carry them too? He already carried them. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So you don't need to pray over and over for that thing, that need, that desire. All you need to do is believe. And then begin talking like you believe. Most people, they want to believe after they see it. They wait for the conditions to improve, the symptoms to go away, and all of those kind of things, and then they believe. But believe before you see the answer. Mark 11:24 says, believe now when you pray. Amen? Praying for other believers. Here's something. Sometimes you can't get the Word of God to work for other people, especially believers. Because they may believe all kinds of things about prayer. They may believe all kinds of things about the Word of God. And they might not even believe that healing is for today and you're trying to get them healed. Amen? So you need to check that out. And, you know, the Bible says in Matthew 18:19 that if two should agree on earth, and in the Amplified it says harmonize together, make a symphony together. So, I mean, that's pretty... if two should agree, like making a harmony or a symphony, that's pretty much agreement, amen? About whatever, anything, and everything they shall ask, it shall come to pass and be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. But just think about you're praying the prayer of agreement and they're not agreeing with you. Where's that going to go? It's going nowhere. I can tell you where it's going to go. So when you're praying for other believers, you have to kind of locate them and see where their faith is. And then you can agree with them at that place that they're having faith for. You know, maybe they can't believe for healing, but they can believe for the doctor to help them. So at least get into it with them there at that point and say, okay, if it's okay with God and you to go to the doctor, then I'll agree with you, you know, that there's no side effects to that nasty stuff he's giving you and all of those kind of things and whatever. And you can get in agreement where they can agree. Amen? And then there's the issue of keeping what you've received. To keep what you've received after you ask it requires your diligence. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them, but now you've got to keep it. A couple years ago, we went to Cuba, and this, while we were in Cuba, Pastor Karen got this growth on her forehead. And it started out just looking like a zit, but it started looking really, really ugly. And it started growing even while we were in Cuba, and it got purple. It got nasty, nasty colored, and it just like popped out of her head. And because we were busy, we were ministering, you know, and I think that was the time that you and Sarah weren't feeling so good. And they were not feeling so good. And so we were fighting through some stuff and just didn't have time to really concentrate on what was happening on her forehead. I think what was in her stomach was probably taking preeminence over what was happening on her forehead. Anyway, to make a long story short, when we came home, she started concentrating on this thing. And every day it got worse. It looked worse. It turned colors. It got bigger and it got maybe almost as big as the end of my small finger. And it looked really bad. But every day when I'd walk past her office, I would see her with a Charles Capps book reading the word and confessing her healing over her. And reading healing scriptures and confessing healing scriptures. Amen. And that went on for, I don't know, maybe a couple of months, maybe. And then one day, she walked, I was in the bathroom, and I came out of the bathroom. She said, look at this. And that thing had fallen off and was in her hand. And where that thing was, there was a little kind of indentation and look of healing over there. Now today, if you look at her forehead, you can't even find the scar. But, you know, most people think, oh, I've got a melanoma. I've got to go to the doctor and get that thing taken out. But she was checking with God first. So I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, and I'm not saying, you know, doctors are wrong or bad, because I was just at the doctor last week, and he said everything was fine. But go to God first. Read the story about Asa and his disease in his feet, and then go to God instead of going to the doctors first. Amen? And then whatever he tells you to do, you do. And we'll get in agreement with you, and then it'll be good. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you have to keep what you have, you have to get the word down on inside. You have a responsibility. Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1 both say that you should meditate in the word day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. So the other thing is, check your words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You want to keep what you got? You can't be saying I'm healed and I'm sick at the same time. Amen. You know, you say in church, I received my healing, and then you go home and you confess to your husband, to your friend, to your whatever. Oh, man, I'm sick. I'm terrible. I'm awful. It's worse. Amen? So check your words. Make sure that your words are lining up with what you're believing in your heart. And keep that going. Confess the word, not your feelings, your observations, and what other people are saying over you. So there's an enemy. There's really an enemy that wants to get at you. Matthew 12 talks about it. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it comes, roams around, searches a place of rest, but does not find any. Then it says, I will go back to my house from which I came. It arrives. It finds the place unoccupied, swept, and put in order and decorated. He comes back in. And the word says he brings seven worse ones with him. So I'm not saying you're demon possessed if you got some sickness and you didn't get rid of it. I'm saying we've got an enemy. He uses all kinds of tricks to come to put back on you what you got healed from. So if you're going to keep your healing, you have to do something. You have to use your faith and you have to reinforce your faith. Stand in your authority. Stand your ground. Put the stand your ground law to work in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Use your authority against the devil and against sickness, against all those things. Amen. Surround yourself with protection. Put believers around you. I know you work around unbelievers and so forth and so on, and it's hard, and they're saying all kinds of trash and all that kind of thing, but guard your mind and your heart by putting the Word of God in there and covering yourself with the blood of Jesus and protect yourself. Don't listen to doubt and unbelief from others. If they give you doubt and unbelief, give them faith and belief back. Amen? Because it shuts their mouth. It stops them when you come back with the Word of God. That's how Jesus stopped the devil, with the Word. Amen. Stay away from critical people. Stay people that are criticizing ministries, people that are criticizing people, people that criticize everything. Stay away from them because they're toxic. And they're toxic to your faith. They're toxic to your healing. They're toxic to everything around you. Just stay away from them. The Bible says, especially believers that are acting that way, stay away from them. The Bible says, don't even eat with them. Stay away from naysayers and people who cause strife. Envy and strife is the open door for every evil to come in. So if you want to stay well, you want to keep your healing, stay out of strife. If you're getting in strife, get out of strife. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, the Bible says. Amen. You can be angry and stuff upsets you, but get over it. Get through it.
Hallelujah.
And determine, I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to live one more day in strife with anybody. Forgive people. Just let it go. Drop it. Stop it. Drop it. Quit it. Because it's toxic. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time for focus groups. So you get to talk about this a little bit and make some observations and apply it and pray for each other. And then we'll be back in a few minutes and we'll do a wrap up and we'll pray for those who want prayer. God bless you in my name, and you will receive and your joy will be full.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I guess in summary, the good news is that faith comes. If you let faith come, faith will come. Faith comes from hearing, comes from hearing the Word of God. That doesn't just mean on Sunday when we're speaking the word here in church, but on your own, getting the word inside of you. Faith is coming, faith is coming, faith is coming. Keep it coming. Amen?
Amen.
So when you die and go to be with Jesus, they can say one thing about you for sure. That person was a person of faith.
Amen.
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 It's probably the biggest compliment you could ever receive in life or death is you were a person of faith. Amen? Praise the Lord, because that means you were faithful as well. Praise God. So Hebrews 11:1 says, "With faith is a substance. It's substance. It says it has substance like this podium has substance. But you can't see the substance. But it has substance.
Amen.
It's the substance of the things you hope for. In other words, the things that you're wanting to receive. It's the substance of the thing until you actually receive it. So your faith is that thing that you look at, or that processes what you look at in your spirit person while you're waiting to receive what you want to see in the natural, whether it's money or physical health or something resolved in your family. Your faith is the substance of that thing that you hope for, and it's evidence of the thing you cannot see. In the court of law, you can't, you should not. I know things are perverted a bit now, but in the court of law, you should not consider anything except the evidence.
Amen.
The judge says, you know, you can't take hearsay, you can't take what somebody believes or thought or maybe saw. You have to have evidence. And based on the evidence, you have to make the judgment of whether the person is guilty or not guilty, right? So Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things you cannot see. So we're not going by what it looks like, but what somebody says, somebody thinks about it. We're going by what we're believing from God's word and declaring over our lives through faith in Jesus and faith in his name. Amen?
Amen.
So, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I'm determined, I'm sure you're determined to please him. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to pray believing that I receive, and I'm going to use the name, not just the name, but the authority that's in the name, and walk free, walk tall, walk strong, and be a vibrant witness for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's a great, great, great way to live your life out. It's good news for everybody. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, it's time to pray. If anybody came today and would like prayer, I mean, obviously you came today or you wouldn't be here. So I should rephrase that. If anyone who came today would like prayer, we're going to pray for you right now. And believe God with you that you will receive what you're praying for, what we're believing for. We'll stand in agreement with you. We'll lay hands on you. And sometimes there's tangible anointing and miracles happen and all of those kind of things. While she's coming, I want to pray for Cindy.
Back up a little bit. Last spring, I started reading a little bit about the feasts, and I was shocked. I didn't know how much I didn't know. And so when I started reading about the feasts and how in Israel all these feasts point to Jesus and that Jesus fulfills all of them, my eyes began to open and I began getting really, really excited about the Old Testament like I never had before. And he actually says that these are feasts of the Lord. He says these are my feasts. And so this is God's message of redemption and salvation when we see these feasts. And so specifically, recently I had a brief conversation with Pastor Harley and I was like, I need to learn more again. Like, I need to get back in reading. So this past month, I began reading all about Shabbat or Sabbath. And so I've been reading all about this and it's all I've been talking about at home. And I've been really excited about the Sabbath. Now, I think a lot of times when we hear Sabbath, we may equate that with equals negative, no this, no that, no this, no that, right? But my eyes began opening that this is actually a gift that the Lord wants to give us. It's not about the do's or the don'ts, but it's about a gift that he wants to give this. And I began thinking, rest. Shabbat is the word for rest. It's the day of Sabbath and rest because the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And then on the seventh day, he rested and ceased from his working. And then guess what? He invites us to be a part of his day of rest. And I think that's what's really neat. The Shabbat, the Sabbath, is an invitation for us to enter into that rest. Now, we know that Jesus fulfilled all the feasts. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our ultimate place of rest. But the Sabbath points to him. And I think I need that reminder weekly to say, I cease from my normal activities to focus on him and to remind myself that my salvation is not in my working. You know, we do not work our way to salvation. And so therefore on the Sabbath, it is such a picture of God's beautiful message of salvation that we cease from our working and our striving to receive the gifts that he has to give to us. So I said, I want this. Like all of a sudden this heart and desire, I want this in a new way that I've never seen before. And I told Enoch, I bet there are special blessings just waiting to be poured out. Because many times I feel like me personally, I'm not sure about everyone else, but I feel like me personally, sometimes I disconnect myself too much with the Old Testament thinking that it's done away with. But in all reality, God is a God that never changes. Jesus didn't come to do away. Jesus came to fulfill. And then he gives us the grace and power to walk in it, right? We do not murder. because we want to fulfill the desires that he's put in our heart and honor him, right? And so it's interesting that, remember, the Sabbath day is actually the fourth commandment. And sometimes we disassociate ourselves with that a little bit, I think. So I've been reading. What does that look like in the New Testament? What does that mean for my own life? And I came across this verse that just blew me away, and I was so excited about it. And this was a couple weeks ago that the Lord spoke this verse to me, and I thought, okay, I have to redo this because this is not my phone. I am borrowing my husband's phone, and now it's reload. Okay, here we go. I came across this verse, and it is in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. Now ready for a huge promise that the Lord wants to give us. He says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I thought, I want that. I want to be renewed in my joy in the Lord. I want to walk in triumph and victory this year. I want to delight in the feasting of his prosperity and blessing. And so praise the Lord that I really believe the Shabbat is a gift. I believe it's a gift, and I don't know about you, but I feel sometimes day after day after day, I have to-dos and to-dos and to-dos, and my to-dos never end. I feel like the weekend comes, and I'm preparing for the next week of homeschooling, and I got so much in my mind. My week never ends with to-dos, and I thought, I think there's a secret here. I think there's a secret here in a new way. Okay, I'm going through all this, and last Sunday I'm staying in the back, and Tanya says, this coming Friday, we're going to have our first Friday Shabbat service. I wanted to jump out of my skin because I thought, yes, this is what the Lord is speaking to me, and how much more exciting to be a part of it with the body. So on Friday, we were in the vehicle, and I was so excited because I called Enoch. I told them this weekend. I called Enoch Friday morning because of my Western kind of perception of reading the Bible, I had never literally learned about the days of the feast, the Shabbat actually being from Friday evening to Saturday evening is the official seventh day. And so I told Enoch, on Friday I called him and I said, it was like 10 o'clock and I was like, I have lunch done already. I have all the dinner made for the next day. And I was so excited. I felt like I really was walking in this like day of preparation because I wanted to embrace rest. And so when we were driving here, I just felt like I was going to jump out of my skin because I felt like it was the first Shabbat that I had ever said, yes, I want to be a part of this because I believe you have blessing for me in it. It's not a matter. I don't need to work something or do something to receive salvation or blessing. I just feel like, yes, I want to enter into that special communion with the Lord of putting my normal activities aside and just fellowshipping with him and loving on him and resting and making it a day that I'm available just to minister to you, Lord, and to minister to my family in a special way. And so we were really blessed coming here Friday evening. We were excited to celebrate a Shabbat, a time of rest, to renew our time with the Lord and to walk in that. And so we were continually blessed. We couldn't believe by the end of yesterday how rejuvenated we felt in a new way. And so the Lord has been growing that in our hearts of how can we make this a weekly thing where every week we stake that day in our calendar. And, you know, I also felt, I told Enoch coming home from the service, I think, you know, the Lord said this is a holy day. we're walking in holy time. Like we're walking in a day that he has special blessing upon because he declared it. And I know that that is a day that we as believers get to walk in every day as we're in Jesus. But I still think that God has a special blessing and purpose for that rest. And I desire that. And so I'm seeking after that. So just to encourage you with our Shabbat service that Sarah just mentioned, it is a blessing. And I think a neat way that we can go back to what the Lord has said and embrace his promises for us as we walk in his original instructions that was actually given at the beginning of time. And so I'm thankful for that. So thanks for letting me share, Pastor Arlene.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.